And we're live.
Yes, we are. It's been a little while.
Welcome back, everybody.
Mad Hopper, episode number 8.
8.
Yeah.
It only took a year.
We're taking our time. We're working through it.
But we're coming in hot this week.
We are, yes.
We are doing a Kent Falls episode for all of you Connecticut beer people and all of the rest of the tri-state area at this point, it seems, that are getting their hands on some Kent Falls. This episode is going to be tasting, what, 5 different Kent Falls
beers?
Yeah,
I think we're up to 5, so we'll see how far we get. And we've talked about Kent on this podcast, because I'm a big fan. I've been up there. Have you been up there?
I've never been to the brewery.
So we're going to touch on a little bit about the place. I think it's one of the coolest breweries that I've been to.
I've heard it's literally in the middle of the woods.
It is,
and
yes.
And dirt roads and,
yes,
you know, in bad weather, you need four-wheel drive to get there.
Yes, that would be helpful to have four-wheel drive. Even the parking there, you're kind of like parking in the mud, so to speak. But I'm excited about the show because it's one of my favorite breweries in Connecticut. So looking forward to tasting an array of their beers and chatting about them.
I think everyone that we're tasting tonight I've never had.
Oh, nice.
I think.
Nice.
I've had a handful of them. Again, not a single bad beer they make.
Yep.
Not my favorite.
Yep.
But certainly not a bad beer. But I also, there's so many that are hitting the shelves. I remember they were a very limited 20-ounce bottle beer. You'd get a table beer, you'd get a farmhouse ale, you'd get maybe a Goza here and there, and now it's just they're pumping out IPAs, they're pumping out pale ales, they're pumping out porters.
Yeah.
And they're hitting every style of beer these days.
So let's talk about that. A little bit about the history of Kent Falls. So it started as a farm. It still is a farm, actually.
Okay.
So it was a farm. I think at some point, I don't even know when, it became a dairy farm for a little bit. Obviously, that was very difficult, kind of having a small dairy farm competing against all of the giants.
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut. And I want to say it was in 2010 or 2011 is when they began to brew beer. And it really started as kind of a local, doing farmhouse type stuff.
That was their backbone, was the Saison-esque.
Yes.
You know.
And you'll notice a lot of that runs through their beer, right? So if you're tasting different beers, you're gonna find a little bit of that, like what we'd call that funk,
yeah,
right? That the Saison has.
It's a
or the sours.
Yeah, they were the first ones that I saw doing like the Brettanomyces style IPAs and the Spelt style IPAs, and they're an IPA that comes off really dry, and it's a style of IPA that is delicious and I appreciate it, but you know, they
you can't drink too many of them.
You can't drink too many of them, and that backbone that they started with has clearly been curbed a little bit by the direction of the market.
Yes.
Because if they were still doing nothing but farmhouses and saisons,
I
don't know if they'd have the name that they have now.
Yeah.
They have a take that is a very original take.
Yeah.
Which is having that farmhouse funkiness in their IPAs.
Now, a lot of that comes from the yeast that they're using, right? The way in which they ferment the beer, it's got different strands of the ale, farmhouse ale, running through their beers, to my knowledge, right?
Yes.
That's how they get all those complex flavors.
I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn knowledge-wise, but I think it's much closer to like a wild ale than it is a regular. It isn't a wild ale, but it's if you had a spectrum, I think it leans more towards that direction.
Yes, exactly. And I remember because last summer we actually went up there and we did a tour. So it's a really cool place. It's a farm. So they actually grow hops there. They have some other vegetables and stuff happening. They've got animals on the farm here, so you're able to walk around and kind of give it a tour.
Take the kids.
It's a great spot for the kids because you can walk in to it's literally like a farmhouse, and you walk in, they have the bar there, they have tables inside, and then a great seating area outside and a jungle gym type
thing. Do they do any like food trucks or anything like that?
So when we were there, there were no food trucks, although they were selling like frozen meat, so they had like prepackaged
probably from the farm
organic chicken, organic
sausage,
pork, and that,
and stuff.
That type of stuff, which I thought was cool. Great tour. I think we went on a Saturday afternoon. It's literally like one tour I think they do a week on a Saturday. But it was great. Free beer included, right? So they had some farmhouse ale that they hadn't even named it yet that they were passing out. Wife tasted it. She hated it. But it had that funk to it, right?
It's the same sort of funk that like a fermented beverage has.
Exactly.
And as much as these are wild comparisons, you know, your fermented foods are things like what, yogurt?
Mm.
And, you know, kimchi.
Cheese.
All of these things have drastically different flavors, but they all have that like, whether it's a vinegariness or whatever that is, but it's across the board.
And you notice that run through their beers.
So what are we starting off with here?
Yeah, so we're actually kicking off with one of their newer beers, PEMDAS. So this is interesting.
Stands for?
So it's a mathematical term.
Okay.
Yes, it's. I am not by any means a math wizard, so I won't even begin to explain. Google will be a friend. We'll go for that. But what's interesting about this one is. We've been following. We had a guest on our last show, Matt, the brother-in-law,
the Kent Falls, the unofficial mayor of Kent Falls Brewery.
So I wouldn't go that far. I will say that he's the mayor of Strata Hops.
Okay.
And we've been chasing down Strata Hops, and to our knowledge, Kent Falls is one of the only ones. That has been that's been using it, right? To chase down, we can do a whole show on different hops, etc. But and remind me to do the taste testing of All Alone in the Middle. I want to recap that.
Okay.
But I digress. So this PEMDAS had Strata blended with another one, and it's gonna escape me now. But it did have Strata inside of it. So this is actually a gift to Drew. From the brother-in-law that he wanted us to try because it has Strata in it. So that's the first one we're trying. Kent Falls IPA, 6% alcohol. And again, it has the Strata hop in it, right?
Yes,
it blended with? It's got something else. It's not pure Strata.
I'm going to look it up.
We're going to chase that one.
I did find that PEMDAS is an acronym.
Acronym, there we go.
And it is for parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction.
So, yes, I think that's the order of operations.
Yes.
If I'm my third grade math serves me
there
still.
Look at you.
Look at me. So what do you think about this
one? Here we go. Oregon-grown Strata hops.
Strata hops, yep, Oregon.
Independent hops with Citra and Australian Ella hops as the supporting roles.
So Strata, Citra, which is a very popular one in most IPAs, and Ella.
Ella hops are similar in flavor to like the Nelson Sauvin hops, which come out of New Zealand.
Oh, very interesting.
They're a Southern Hemisphere.
Okay, a Southern Hemisphere. We should totally do a whole show on hops. That'll be coming down the pike.
Specific
just
hops.
To talk about them, right?
Love
we'll try
it.
A few beers that have that. In that vein, 2 weekends ago, the brother-in-law brought 3 All Alone in the Middle of Nowhere, which
with
are Kent Falls.
Individual hopped. I
all
saw the
have
pictures.
Different hop strains. So one had Strata, one had Nelson, and one had Mosaic. And we did a blind taste test. So it was 3 of us. We split the 3 beers between the 3 of us, and we taste them. We try to identify. The first thing we
honest opinion on, I want to hear your
and
your,
all but. 3 of us isolated our favorite tasting of the 3, and we were all correct that it was Strata.
That so was that your favorite out of the 3?
By far was like this.
So was this a single hop version of the beer with that particular
yes,
hop?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So okay. Strata, Nelson, and Mosaic. We isolated Strata and we're like, of these 3 that I'm tasting, this is the best one and I think it's Strata. And we were all right. So there's something about that hop that is really, really good.
Now, on a single, on when it's singled out, are you classifying? Is it a juicy? Is it a tropical?
Of those things. Okay. I remember the Strata was like a ripe mango.
Okay.
Very, very soft. Very, very drinkable.
Not like a tart though.
And it was obvious drinking these 3 next to each other. So I say that one. We both got confused on which one was Nelson and which one was Mosaic. And I'll say there because I thought that Mosaic was something that just tasted more like a typical IPA that we drink. So I was like, oh, I thought for sure that was that one. And I flipped them around. I had the Nelson one wrong. But it was really interesting. There was something very special about All Along the Middle of Nowhere. Again, All Alone in the Middle of Nowhere is a beer produced by Kent Falls, and they did three versions, one with Nelson, one with Mosaic, and one with Strata.
And that was clearly a brewery release.
Yes.
That wasn't something you were going to find in the store.
Well, we might have found them here or there, at least in Ridgefield. It'll be interesting to see if they come back with them. I don't know. Maybe they won't. So
it's all based on availability.
Exactly. So before we go too far, what do we think about the PEMDAS?
I think it's good.
Okay.
I think it is... I think it's got a very... I think it's very drinkable for long-term drinking. It's
a hazy IPA.
It's a hazy IPA. It's not super heavy. I think it's 6% is what I saw 6%. On there.
Yeah,
it's 6%. Yep. It's not too crushing on the palate. If I were to critique it, which I wish it... If I were to come up with something I'd like to have more of...
Yep.
It's that you get that bright burst of flavor in the beginning, but it seems to die out quickly.
It's kind of chalky on the back a little bit,
right? A little bit.
Almost like a little kind of like hard, something sticking to your mouth. I think we're going to find that with a few of the other of Kent Falls. I hate to relate it to a Julius, but at least in my book to date, a Julius has one of the highest rankings when I'm thinking about IPA, so I kind of compare everything.
Is that one of your favorite all times?
So it's tough. It's tough. But I look at my, I try to track religiously on Untappd, kind of my rankings, so I can go back and look at it. And Julius is my number one right now.
Yeah.
So if ever I find something that approaches that Julius, I want to do a side by side and really kind of nail it down. Mm-hmm. But I kind of compare everything to that. The great thing about those beers, which we drank Julius and King Julius on the last show, was, I mean, the flavor is consistent throughout the whole experience of the drink, right? Whereas this, you kind of have like a very, very unique, fruity flavor on the front, but then on the back, it kind of leaves you with like almost like a residue, right?
Well, yeah, it's sticky in that regard. Yeah. That's how I'll always say, I feel like if you drink a couple of these,
right,
by the end of the couple, your tongue, it's stuck in there.
Yeah.
And that to me is lager-ish. Now, the thing that's funny about that is, you know, lager is a different yeast than ale for a pale ale. The fact that they're using a farmhouse, that makes me wonder if that yeast is not
quite... crossing over.
Yeah, is like a high, not a hybrid, but more of a wild than, you know, than your standard ale yeast or lager yeast.
Yeah, that's interesting. But so just to kind of close out on the brewery, if you haven't been up there, it's a great trip for the family, right? Because kids can go and see the animals, try to line it up with a tour so you can walk around, you can learn a little bit about the brewery. The tour wasn't super family friendly. My kids are pretty young. We made it about halfway through the tour, then they went to go back to the Jungle Gym.
Yeah.
But again, the Jungle Gym is within the drinking boundaries. So a lot of these breweries, sometimes the, you know, the play area for the kids are, you know, you can't bring the drink outside the brewery, a little bit at Nod Hill. That's the only disappointing thing at Nod. I would love to see something at Nod where you can hang out, kids can kind of be running around and playing, and you could be hanging out and drinking. They don't have that set up at
they
Nod.
Have they try to
they have the Jungle Gym on the other side, but you can't leave the brewery with your drink.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is it's like you don't want to sit at the brewery and then send your 8 and 4-year-old through a parking lot.
Correct.
To get to a Jungle Gym.
Correct. That's the other thing. But so Nod, you walk in through the seating area outside, has the Jungle Gym, so you can sit there, the kids can play.
You mean Kent Falls?
Kent Falls, sorry.
Yes.
And you can bring in your own food, like most breweries, right? Yeah. So you bring in your food and you can hang out. So great place. And then 10 minutes away are the actual falls. So the Kent Fall logo, as you can see, is actually waterfalls.
Yep.
So in Kent Falls, there's a really cool waterfall. It's a state park.
Good hiking around there.
It's great hiking. You don't have to walk very far to see the waterfalls. So actually, after we hit up the brewery, we drove up to the falls, we got out, and we walked out there. And
you're actually pretty close, too, for the booze bags that listen to the Litchfield Distillery.
Oh, really? Tell me more about that. I have not heard of that.
That's where you can get... That's Litchfield makes a bourbon. They make a vodka. Oh. They make that cinnamon stick. They make a cinnamon stick with bourbon.
Interesting.
So it doesn't compete with the Fireball.
Yeah.
But it's like a legit 8-year bourbon that they then stick a cinnamon stick into age.
Wow.
So you get this true. They
have,
also do a...
I had
the vanilla bean Litchfield.
Okay.
Which is literally a vanilla bean in there. They do a lot of good stuff up there. They do a blueberry vodka that's made only with fresh blueberries that are from the property.
From the property, that's pretty cool.
And it is dangerous because it is.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that. So while we're on the subject of local distilleries, and we're a Ridgefield-based show, are you familiar with the In Ridgefield effort that's taking place here in town?
No.
So they essentially, and again, I need to educate myself
on
this.
Who is they?
I think it's the town.
Okay.
Wants to make essentially labeled products that come from Ridgefield. So essentially, we could have our own brand of In Ridgefield vodka, for example. Do you have any opinion on that?
I wonder. It only becomes super cool to me if it's being made in Ridgefield.
So
as opposed to like to the Kirkland, like white labeling. The Kirkland, yeah. You know, model,
yeah.
Where it's like, okay, we're gonna get Grey Goose to make this for us,
right? And then we'll
but
just
we're just gonna buy the rights to put Kirkland on it.
So I haven't read. What scares me is that it's supposed to be a way for the town to collect money by selling this, which I think anytime government is involved in trying to, you know,
ruin fun,
right? Or like have an operation that's supposed to like make money but be like, yeah, I just think that's like a recipe. Why wouldn't kind of a group of people come together and say, let's, you know, use the town name to come up with something? So it's interesting.
No, that's definitely something to pay attention to. It's the first I've heard of it.
All right, before we go too far, let's talk
what's
a little
our next
bit.
Yeah, what's our next, what are our options? The unicorns I've
bit.
Had
let's talk a little
is
bit
this
about
unicorn?
That is not unicorn. That is
Awkward
Hug.
Okay. We have Awkward Hug.
We have Double Awkward Hug.
Interesting.
That's coming at you as well. We have, what is that one?
False Imperative. It's a noble hop. So this is a noble hop pale ale. So that's not even IPA, but that's a single hop pale.
We've got...
everything's going to be all right.
Some vague...
Big reassurance that everything is going to be all right.
And then we have one more here. Which
playback
is,
with a twist.
Playback with a twist.
It
so,
was canned, it looks like, pretty recent.
But. I don't even know if we'll get through all of them in the show, but let's start
somewhere.
So if
we split six beers, that's only like having three beers each.
Right, that's not so bad.
And they're only 6% with exception to the Double Hug.
Not to mention the six we've drank before the show.
Clearly.
Those don't count. It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon, come on.
Yeah, no, live. Doubly Awkward Hug. See, that's the big boy. That's the 8.
So let's talk a little bit about Kent's kind of top-ranked beer. So if you go to Untappd and you you pull some of their top-ranked beers, you know, when I was in the store the other day, again, a nice shout-out for Ancona's here in town, a phenomenal selection of Kent Falls. They must be related to, like, the owner or the head brewer
something.
They're kind of taking them out. But, you know, when you think about the scores related to their beers, what do you have there?
So the number one, according to Beer Advocate,
yep,
is All Alone with Everywhere to Go, the Nelson Hop version.
I'm telling you, that All Alone, I actually don't think I have it in my Untappd. It's a phenomenal beer.
Number four out of their list,
yep,
includes Doubly Awkward Hug.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to diving into that. I had an awkward hug last night. And
then PEMDAS follows Doubly Awkward.
Really? PEMDAS is up
and
there.
And then Awkward Hug is two after that.
Yep.
I'm trying to find Walking with Sonoma, All Alone with Vertigo Citra. Playback with a Twist is up there. They're all...
So Buddy Sprinkles is one that a lot of people...
Buddy Sprinkles saves the day.
Yeah, that one's up there. So interesting, right? So that's some of their top beer. So if you see All Alone out there, it's got an astronaut on the cover, pick that up. Right? I mean, you really
I've seen
that
so many times.
And we'll alert all of you when we see them releasing. So
put those in the fridge
yeah,
for now.
So we're going to go ahead
I think
and get
we should
started.
Go, let's go right off the bat with number four here on the list. Go out smoking here with a Doubly Awkward Hug.
Let's go. We're going to go double
if we're
going to
go hard
hug.
Right off the bat here.
Let's
yeah, the rest
do.
Of these are real light. So this will be a good get the big one out of the way.
Let's get it started.
Doubly Awkward Hug. I love the way, I will say this, the Kent Falls beers are very pretty looking beers.
They are.
Like this one almost has like a mango color to it.
Oh yeah, look at that. All very kind of hazy.
And that's a big thing too. I feel like that hazy thing is a double-edged sword because now you've created a pretty good big group of people that if it's not hazy, It's like, oh, that can't be good. It's not hazy. I can see through it.
Yeah.
It's like the same conversation we had earlier today. Bottled beer. There's nothing wrong with bottled beer.
Right.
Except for the fact that most tall boys are 4 ounces more beer.
Yeah.
But I mean...
So speaking about bottled beer and cans, etc., shout out to my wife. Father's Day got me the 1 liter growler.
Of?
From Nod Hill.
Nice.
We actually filled it with Petite Delight, which we should touch on, give little Nod Hill some love here. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about kind of smell. I'm not smelling a ton of this, which is interesting because a lot of these beers, and I think this is relatively recently canned, 6/10. All right, so we're 10 days old, but still I would expect a little bit more aroma coming off of this, right? Which I'm not getting.
It's
a very, very light aroma. Kind of on the nose. You gave it a sip. What do you see in there?
I was, it's not that much. It's not bad, but it's kind of, I don't know. There's not a whole...
So it's interesting. You definitely have that double IPA kind of like alcohol-y
boozy
taste on, right?
But
on
it's
the
almost,
front.
That boozy is giving more sweet than anything else to me.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a fruit I'm getting, it is melon. It's like a melon or a mango-y. It's not even ripe.
It's not like a full kind of one there, right?
There's not a lot of citrus in this. Yeah.
And on the back end, you kind of get that chalky on the back of the throat, I think, as well. You know, I'm going to be honest, not that impressed.
I think PEMDAS is better.
Oh, definitely. PEMDAS is better. Now, keep in mind, this is a double, so you're looking at a double and 8%, right? So this is 2% higher than PEMDAS, right? So you're getting a little bit more alcohol in there. But it has a bite to it, right? Which really...
I was expecting a little more of a bite.
You were expecting more.
Well, a bite... See, to me now, a bite is when you have a... one of these triple IPAs or a 10% IPA or the New Frontier, that beer by Connecticut Valley, you swallow that and you exhale and you almost get that like booze exhale.
Yeah.
You don't have that with this.
You don't. No, it's soft enough.
So bite for me is that like whew, that alcoholic, like I could light my breath on fire.
Yeah, you don't have that.
This, you know that there's booze in there.
Yeah.
But it's, I will say this, it's balanced. It's not sharp. In other words, it's not like you have these flavors for me and you're like, wow, that's really boozy.
Yeah.
It's a very uniform taste from beginning to end with regards to the booze. It's consistent in that regard.
I almost feel, and this might sound crazy, if you let this sit, would it be better?
It might have to do with, generally, I've heard...
Chill out.
Well, like a good rule of thumb is not even necessarily letting it chill out or breathe, but letting the temperature come up a little.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a perfect example to compare, red wine. If you take red wine out of a wine cooler, that's a wine cooler even aimed at red wine.
Yeah.
You open it to let it breathe, but also let it get up to room temperature.
That's true. That's
now,
a good point.
You don't want to let beer get warm, but a lot of the times, like if I'm drinking that the other night I posted, as some of our followers saw, the aged
Imperial Stout Trooper.
I took that out of the
fridge from Nebco.
I took that out of the fridge about a half hour before I cracked it.
Yeah.
And then as it sat in that snifter, it warms up.
It warms up.
And I mean, that's not to get off the Kent Falls trail here.
No, but the flavor
but
changes.
I will tell you this, that is the one I've had where now it's a solid 3 years aged, and that was spectacular.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten your hands on Nebco Imperial Stout Trooper, do yourself a favor, go out there, pick up a six pack,
and let it
store it.
And put it away.
Don't
like
drink
a 401k. Forget about it.
Like set it and forget
Correct.
It. Right?
Correct. No.
Let it pay dividends in the future.
That was the last one I had from that four pack from 2016.
It was a 16.
And I cracked it the other night because I was like, you know what? I'm going to have it. That's dessert tonight. I'm going
to
have that.
I need to pick that up because winter rolls around. I'm going to want to have some of those.
I got a basement
That's
side
true. That's true. If anyone needs some, come talk to Drew.
I'm happy to share whatever with you. But yeah, no, this...
Yeah, so be interesting. Let's see how it warms up.
Yeah, let
the
can sit for a little while
really
and see if it changes it. I think temperature has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. While we're letting that warm up and we continue to drink on that, any beer news that you know kind of has hit your radar that we should be talking about? Or
that article that you showed me a picture of there that I saw a little blurb about it online that there's a company out there now that is making non-alcoholic beer cool again.
Yeah, so I think it's called Athletics or Athletic.
And I don't quite understand. Like, I understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand.
So funny, because my wife's a runner, as am I. Right, as you're a runner too. You know, we try to stay fit. We try to balance the calories that we're drinking with all of these beers.
Some try harder than others.
So we were at the Hartford Marathon, and there's nothing better than after 3.5 hours of watching kids. In a city like Hartford.
I thought you were
going to
say running.
There's nothing more than that you want than a nice beer that, right? And so we're walking through. Of course, my wife, you know, finished the marathon. She did great. Boston qualifying time. Phenomenal.
Again.
All I wanted was a beer. And we're walking through kind of the tents of all these things set up.
You qualified to go to Sam Adams while she was running.
Which we should talk about, Dogfish Sam Adams, because I don't think we've chatted about that on the show.
I know that is correct.
But we walk by the tent of Athletic. I believe the name's Athletic. Forgive me if I'm wrong. And I was like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, non-alcoholic beer. I'm like, what? What is the point?
So now here is the catch-22 to that statement.
Yeah.
Is if you look at how many people are now hunting down beers because of a Strata hop.
Yeah.
Okay? How do you have the argument that they make the beer with all of those ingredients that people, quote-unquote, hunt down, but there's no alcohol in it?
So, what? Okay, now you're the chemist here. How does that even work? Can you put a Strata hop and not be alcoholic?
I think that the main thing that's not done is I don't think that there can't be much yeast in it.
Is that because, what gives you the...
Because, when you dumb down basic beer, your alcohol, if you're not force carbonating it, if you're bottle conditioning beer, like when you brew at home and you bottle it and you cap it yourself, what creates the alcohol is the combination of yeast eating malt or sugar.
Okay.
And what happens is the yeast eats the malt sugar, and what it produces when that reaction occurs is ethanol, which is alcohol.
Okay.
So I don't know the exact chemistry on non-alcoholic beer, but I mean, it tells me that either they have made an alcoholic beer and then distilled off the alcohol, or they have, made a beer sans yeast.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm how that is made is a big question mark to me.
So listened to the radio the other day, ESPN or whatever it was, and commercial comes on. Heineken, non-alcoholic Heineken. And it was making the case of, hey, your commute home now has gotten a lot better because you can have your favorite beer while driving home. I just thought that was a horrible idea, right?
More like marketing,
like making yourself like kind of getting used to like cracking a beer
I'll
in your
wait
car.
To drink the real Heineken until I get home, but until then, I'll have a diet Heineken.
I was like, no, really? Come on, Heineken. You're better than that.
Having a conversation with somebody in my younger years, and I was like, "Oh, vodka tastes terrible," or whatever it was when I was younger, in my developmental years, and I'd made a comment about something tasting bad, and someone said something along the lines of, at the end of the day, Drew, people drink alcohol for how it feels, and then ultimately it's like Robitussin tastes terrible, but if you have an awful cold, you associate feeling better with drinking it, right? So you get by the taste of the alcohol because it's going to make you feel better. I don't know that that's the case with beer. At the same time, I'm not going to lie. Like, you work, your wife is at home, I work, my wife works part-time, but at the same time, you talk to anybody that works, has a family, get home from the night, get home on a Friday after a rough week, you want to have a little, I'm not driving, the kids went to bed, I'm going to sit on my couch.
Yeah.
I want to have a beer. Right. I want to have a martini. I want to have, and that's okay. So I have to believe that if you are somebody who can't, there's plenty of people that either actively make a choice not to drink because of something that happened or have realized they can't handle alcohol.
Right.
So I have to believe that their main driving, you know, force is, what are your options if you're you know, you still want to be able to hang with your friends and drink, but O'Doul's taste terrible.
Right.
These guys are now creating feeding that market of people that maybe used to drink great beers, but would drink 36 of them and then go crash a car. And now, that's my only thing.
I'm not buying it.
Okay, so O'Doul's has a market. Yes?
I don't know.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Okay.
O'Doul's has been around forever. They still sell a lot of
beer. Have you ever been out with anyone that ordered an O'Doul's?
I happen to have a family member.
Okay.
Who has been sober for probably, 13, 14 years now.
Congratulations. God bless him.
And at my father-in-law's house, there's always a six-pack of O'Doul's because if we have a family function, that's what he drinks.
I'm sorry. If ever I give up alcohol, I don't think I'm drinking O'Doul's.
You know what? And that's fine, but I don't think, for me, it's like an all or nothing. If I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to have a fake
Give me
beer.
A seltzer.
I agree. But I don't know that that is the case across the board. And that's fine.
So I'll give it to him. I just don't think we should be promoting drinking or anything close to drinking on your commute home. Right? I think there's a very fine line between, you know what, I'll just have a road soda here, you know?
I agree. I think it's definitely a little strange that your marketing campaign is, hey, you can drink these kind of Heinekens while you drive on 84.
Right.
Like, I agree. It's a little strange. I don't know. I've had an O'Doul's before and I mean, to me, it's if I'm gonna drink, if I'm gonna waste the calories, I want some alcohol.
I don't want a bang for my buck.
Which is, I mean, that's my big argument with a lot of session beers, where I'm like, well, geez, I'm not gonna spend $14 in a six pack of session to not get anywhere.
So, all right, so interesting session.
You had that session, the one we talked about with Matt on the last podcast, the Mosaic. We had it last Saturday. Point? Yeah.
That was a great beer.
4%.
Again, we were both playing part-time, dad there while watching our kids. So maybe that makes beer taste a little better while you're drinking it. But I thought that was a really good beer.
And it's a great buy. It's a $6 four-pack for four tall boys at 4%.
Blue Point is out of Long Island.
Correct. Right? They make the Hoptical Illusion. They make the Toasted Head Lager.
Yes.
They make a couple other beers. But I found that on a whim, and someone was like, dollar for dollar, that's the best buy you're going to make on our shelf. And took their word for it, and I was like, holy crap. I mean, it's very drinkable. It's got a Mosaic single hop, so it's got that.
Yeah.
Like you said, with the Kent Falls Mosaic there.
Yeah.
It has that generic, like, bam of a a wake-you-up hop flavor, except it doesn't come with the 8% tag with it. It's got four.
So let's transition a little bit to, the season that we're in, right? And on the note of Kent Falls, they came out with their version of, I believe it's a Lose, but it's basically a Saison beer that they have. It's got that pink flavor, that pink color.
It's like a hibiscus.
Yeah. So Nod has a hibiscus, right?
Magic Mailbox.
Mm-hmm. I took my wife there the other day. We were sitting at Nod. We had a few flights. I thought she'd be into it. She was not into it. Hibiscus, that was not something that she was looking at, but. You know, it's that time of the year, so you're starting to see like the raspberry flavored beers and the and those coming out. So Kent has one recently released. You know, I'm not into it, so we didn't pick it up. We didn't talk about it tonight, but they definitely have it. It's come out. The Saison Lose. So it's kind of their latest evolution of a clean and hop forward.
Yeah, and they're doing the batch by batch with different hops.
There you go.
They have the Nelson in this one. Oh. I saw another one there tonight. Actually, they had the 2018. I didn't grab that.
Yeah.
Their Apricot Gozo, that's a complete summer beer.
Yep. So a lot of these summer beers coming out now, right? We're not fans. I definitely think we should dedicate some time to maybe exploring a few. A really popular one out of Two Roads is Raspberry Jam, if I'm
I've Road Jam.
Road Jam.
Road Jam. And it's made with their fresh raspberries, local raspberries.
So, so it's that time of year, right? We're going to see that stuff coming out. And, hey, some people are into it. We should definitely explore it.
But I will say that they had this one here. They make a Farmer's Table. This Farmer's Table is a farmhouse ale. This is one of their originals. This was actually, it's a dry-hopped Farmhouse Table beer. It's a 3.8% alcohol. It's about as light. It's very similar to, you would drink this as you would drink the Ace of Wands.
Yeah.
You could literally, you could put a pitcher of this if you had it on tap at a dinner table every night and just have it as a sipper.
That's basically my 1 liter growler now has become my table beer. We filled it with Petite Delight from Nod. You can fill it with Ace of Wands. Just a great beer to have.
Just a great,
dinner,
yeah. Right? Very simple, great beer. I'm interested in going down the sour road again and the Berliner Weiss and the Goza, but
yeah,
I just wasn't,
you know, I think we need to give them a try as a taster. I can't drink a ton of them, right? It's just not my thing, but we should give them a try.
This is the one that I saw tonight.
Hibiscus. So they do have a legit hibiscus one. So this is Kent Falls. It's called Hibiscus.
That's all it's called, and it's dried hibiscus flowers, and it's got a red, I mean, it's a 5%.
So is there a market for this stuff? I mean, I don't see any.
It's a seasonal market.
Yeah.
You're not, I mean, let's face the facts. A hibiscus or a raspberry or a apricot goza.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just think, you know, again, this is where beer gets close in the relationship with the drinker, like wine does.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go and sit on a dock, you know, on the Connecticut River or on the Long Island Sound in the middle of July and get raw oysters and order a big red wine. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Just like you're not going to go and I mean, now you can, if that's what you like, great. Yeah. But you're not going to go and order a big heavy stout in that scenario. Whereas something like this hibiscus, the Road Jam, the Magic Mailbox, it's light. It's almost closer to white wine than it is to beer.
White wine, yeah.
It's got that same light. There's not that huge hop profile that's blowing out your taste buds.
So are they targeting people who don't like beer, you think?
I think, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, I think they're targeting the same audience that's buying Sessions.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, this one, you know, and the breweries that are succeeding in it are targeting it at the price point.
Yeah.
Because that's where the one, you know, these big name breweries, the Lawsons and a lot of them, their Sessions are, they're marketing them and pricing them similar to beers that are double the alcohol amount, which is why I'm like, this is a waste. Like, I get it, but, you know, I can go buy a 12 pack cans of Lil Heaven from Two Roads.
Yeah.
$17.99.
Yeah.
You know, a 12 pack of, you know, the sampler, you know, what is it, Road Bus or Tour Bus, their sampler from Two Roads all the different ones, same price, and it's not Session.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this market that's going after this, I have to believe, is a seasonal market. Yeah. Not to mention that, you know, you're not in Connecticut finding hibiscus flowers in January.
Yeah.
You know, you're finding them in the spring and in the summer.
Right.
So that's the way that you know, the fruit beers are definitely aimed at a seasonal.
Yeah, the seasonal shopper. It's interesting. It's exciting. All right, what are we drinking next?
This hasn't really changed much.
It has not. I think it's pretty consistent.
It's not bad. It's just not.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's something that like necessarily jumps out at you, right?
I don't know. You pick one.
All right. You know, so I had the the awkward hug the other night, so I'm looking to try something different.
Grab a Truly.
I did not mean to grab the Truly out of the fridge.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I like the pomegranate.
Yeah, pomegranate's pretty good, right? Speaking of fruity beer. False Imperative, so that's the Noble Hopped Pale Ale.
So that's a single hop.
So maybe we'll leave that for now. Interested. This one intrigues me because it's got the longest ass name that I've ever seen. Some vague reassurance everything's going to be all right.
I like it.
Let's go ahead and give it a crack. Let's see what the
fuck. What style of beer is this? Is this a pale ale or an India pale ale? This would be an imperial pale.
This is imperial. So,
but it's a pale. It's not an imperial IPA. It's an imperial pale ale.
Oh, interesting. All right.
IPA is India pale ale.
That's right.
So you have a double IPA is Imperial India Pale Ale. This is just an Imperial Pale Ale.
Interesting. So what's the alcohol? So a 6%.
It's not that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, so this isn't... Gonna give this a crack.
You talk about the chalkiness, and if you look at the bottom of the glass there...
There's all your chalk.
And there's your chalk.
All right, so this has a hazy but much lighter, right? It doesn't have the kind of the golden hue that we saw with the double awkward hug. You know, maybe we should have compared awkward hug right next to double awkward hug. I think they're pretty consistent because I had it last night, minus kind of that
the booziness, alcohol, the, that the booziness sweet on the booziness.
Front. Yeah, I would say pretty consistent though. So looking forward to this. Again, no smell. There's no nose coming off of this. Interesting.
See, now the thing is we always talk about your comparison, your benchmark comparison, fair, unfair, whatever you want to call it, is Julius.
Yeah.
Treehouse, and Treehouse, like a lot of, you know, the Alchemist and a lot of the Vermont beers, are notorious for the nose.
Yeah.
And
crack those cans open,
the room
it just
smells.
Like the room.
I mean, I can crack a can of Julius sitting next to you, and you'll be like, man, I can 100% smell
agree.
And there's not a lot. I mean, that's definitely. I don't know what about that is. I don't know if that is the when you make beer, you add hops in stages based on where you're looking for your flavor to come.
Yeah.
From. So you have like the beginning of the boil hops, you have mid boil, you have right at the end, you have dry hops, you have all these things. And they always, you know, when you're brewing, you learn that the different addition points equal the different, you know, times in which you'll taste them.
Yeah.
So you'll get aroma hops that the majority of the benefit of putting them in at that time is the smell.
It's the smell, right.
Or the finish or the entry. Makes you wonder if
can't
the timing,
not even going after that.
Yeah, that's not they're interested.
They don't care.
They're interested in making good tasting beer, not good smelling. No, you know, you're not buying beer to smell it. You're buying beer to drink it.
All right, what do we got to taste here? That's different.
Very different.
Different than what we've been drinking.
Now, remembering this is a pale ale.
Yeah, you kind of have to shift gears here.
You have to.
So it's a very light.
It's light, but it's
almost
got
like a white wine.
Yeah, it's got a very right up front for me. I'm getting a real tart, like a blast right off the bat.
The end, you got something that's kind of like getting caught in the throat, though, right?
Which is kind of consistent with what we've been
with
saying.
The other ones we've had, like that back end. It's almost like they don't know how to finish the beer.
Or it's just. Again, the style
the
yeast or whatever
it's
they're
some,
using.
Maybe it's
there
that wild yeast that's happening.
It's sticky,
right? It's really interesting that's come across through all the beers that we've, with maybe the exception of PEMDAS. PEMDAS maybe not as much.
See, I think we finish, and the one more. If we do have one more, I think we do, and it happens to just be the lighter. But I'd be curious on that single noble hop.
Yeah,
I bet you. That will be more similar to the PEMDAS as far as the lighter.
Yeah.
The lighterness. Because generally, the way I see it, could be completely wrong. When you want to make a more alcoholic beer, if you're brewing, the way you create a lot more alcohol is more sugar, more yeast. You generally need both, but you need to feed that yeast because what that produces is the ethanol.
Right.
Right? So if you have a lower alcohol beer, your demand for the malt off the bat, this is just logic I'm putting together.
Yeah.
So forgive me, anybody that might be listening and being like, this guy's a moron. this is just my point A to point B, right. Point C, right?
Right.
So if you have a lower alcohol content, you have less malt or less sugars, less fuel.
Yeah.
Because you have less yeast, right? Like you have a little bit less of everything in there. Maybe you're more focused on that noble hop flavor.
Right.
So you're hopping the hell out of it with that one hop. But, you know, if you're looking for most single hops are less alcohol.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The things that create the alcohol, if you have less alcohol, to me, means that they're probably going to be a little bit less.
Yeah.
That's just, again,
yeah, I'm just focused on how it works. Right.
That I you know, I'm not making any promises.
That's all another thing.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see
if that last one has it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I will say this, and this isn't Kent Falls, but I'm gonna bring it up on the podcast. I was Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Went to my 3-night run of string cheese at the Capitol
Theater. That's right. Okay. Nice.
Capitol Theater, great venue. Great beer selection.
Porchester?
Porchester.
Yeah. Great beer selection.
Phenomenal beer selection.
Really?
Now,
is this tap, can, now, what?
Both. Mix?
Interesting.
So you're going to pay inflated venue prices.
Sure, captive audience.
You know, sip of Sunshine's their house beer.
Really?
Which is not a bad house beer to have on tap, right?
No, it's not.
They have, and I've since this show bought two six-packs because it's just been such a great beer. Sierra Nevada, California, makes Hazy Little IPA.
Okay.
I think it's $10 a six pack.
Yeah.
It's probably like a 6%. They're not tall boys.
Yep.
Hazy Little Thing IPA blew my doors off.
Really?
Blew my doors off. Because I've seen it and I was like, you know.
Yeah,
whatever.
How good can it be?
Yeah,
Sierra Nevada.
No, Sierra Nevada makes Sierra Nevada's pale ale. They were the pale ale.
Yeah.
Before the craft market, yeah. Like the safe go-to, if you're like, I got to bring a 12-pack to this house that's we're going to watch football. Sierra Nevada was always like, dude, he brought Sierra Nevada. Like,
yeah.
It's a good beer. There's nothing wrong with Sierra Nevada. Torpedo, great beer. Hoptimum comes out once a year. It's their double. Spectacular. Still stick to the bottle. That right. Hazy Little Thing is the first thing I've ever seen in a can, aside from their Summerfest, which is a phenomenal summer beer.
Yeah.
But that Hazy Little Thing, my brother-in-law, who happened to be at night two of String Cheese, was like, they have a Hazy Little Thing, man. We're down on the floor. Like, that, you know, the beer girl's walking in front of the front rail there, and she's selling beers. And he's like, yeah, dude, grab us some Hazy Little Things. And I'm like, really? And he's like, dude, it's really good. And, you know, this is who I like to...
Your brother-in-law is in Vermont, right?
This is like, the one who
Mecca.
This is my brother-in-law that I credit with introducing me
to craft
before
beer.
He even had the Vermont house. He was a Colorado craft beer before the market existed here.
In New England.
You know? So he was like, oh, yeah, they're great. So, you know, I pick up 4 or 5 of them because we got a group of like 4 or 5 guys. I took a sip and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it is great. I won't even say good. I'll say great.
Really?
And I'm not saying great like, you know, go hunt it down. I'm saying here's a beer that is now
readily available. Yeah.
It's on the shelf.
Very, very
There's
drinkable.
Always a six-pack. It's $10.99 a six-pack.
Right.
And it was, this has now become a beer where I'm like, I don't know what I want. They have that. I'll grab it.
I'm going to go
it's
with that.
It's that good.
It's a default. Wow.
It is definitely a... you know, quote unquote, for the podcast, Drew recommended beer.
That's a big deal.
And then I'm stamping that with my approval because I I'll be the first to say that I was the one that was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
And it was the same night when I had Nightlight by Night Shift.
Right.
Where I was like, okay, third night show, we're driving home after. I'm not trying to drink tonight, but I, you know, want a beer.
Yeah.
They had Nightlight, grabbed a can of it, and I was like, it was the same sort of thing with the Mosaic from Blue Point. I was like, it's great. It's crushable. It's 4%.
So, I have a confession. You always talk about Narragansett.
Love it.
So, I never had it.
Just plain tall boys Narragansett.
So, Memorial Day weekend, I was like, you know what? Drew's always been talking about this. I'm going to pick it up. So picked up a 4-pack of tall boys.
Six pack.
Are they coming six?
It's a six pack for $5.99.
Super cheap.
Dollar a beer.
Right? So it was interesting. So we were at the pool. I was drinking them. Someone stopped me. It was like, I think it was after. So it was like, I was leaving or whatever. He was like, hey, saw you with an Narragansett. You know, that's a cool move. You know, that's a whole New England subculture. His dad was there, who looked like he was like 95. And he was like, hey, neighbor, I saw you with the Narragansett. Yeah, totally. I was like, what is going on here?
I'm
drinking it because Drew drinks it.
And what did you think of it?
Okay.
You can't compare it. You can't compare it.
Wait. I'm going to be honest. I drank it and I was like, hey, this feels like a good summer beer, right? Light. Kind of almost had like a salty flavor to it. Like I'm having a crab ball or a shrimp ball and I'm drinking this and just kind of all goes together.
A fried seafood platter.
It was fine. I was at the pool. I told someone that I had it and they were like, oh man, that's like horrible beer. Right? It made me feel like I was drinking like a PBR or something like that. So it was interesting. Had it just been me, I would have probably been like, you know what? This is just a good summer beer. And someone had to ruin it for me. Wait, and I was like, really?
Summer or not, I will drink like that beer to me. Like, and that's the one thing I won't do. If you come to this house and you get on this podcast and you're someone who drinks beer, but Coors Light's your beer, you can still be part of our podcast. I don't care.
Yeah.
If that's what you love,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
For me, the Bud Lights, the Coors Lights, the Miller Lights, I like High Life, not gonna lie. But Narragansett, my niece, who's home from college, just turned 21. She was over here Memorial Day weekend. We came back for the parade. She's like, what are those? And I was like, Kate, these are $6 a six-pack beers. You want one? Sure, I'll have one. She's 21. I know. We got to wrap it up soon.
Bumping up here.
She drank one, and she was like, these are so easy to drink. I was like, I know. I was like, they're lighter.
Yeah.
And it's not a light beer. But they're lighter than Ken Falls, certainly. You can drink three or four of them on a given day if you're at a barbecue or something. You're not going to get messed up. And they don't have that bitter beer. I've had three of them, and now I taste it for the rest of the day. They're clean.
Right.
They're a clean beer.
Yeah, definitely a clear drinking beer.
So for that, and here's something that's underrated about Narragansett. You talk to anybody that knows their beer. Narragansett makes Narragansett Light, and then they have like the Dells, they have the Town Beach IPA, they have the Alley's Donuts Porter, they have the Autocrat Coffee Stout.
Fresh
Catch IPA.
That was their IPA.
They have a couple of them.
Okay.
They're Bohemian Pilsner. People will buy those regularly.
Yeah.
Those are good beers.
Yeah.
People will turn their nose up at a regular Narragansett, but then that same person will go, yeah, but I like the Fresh Catch.
Yeah.
Or I like the Dell's Shandy. Like, that's my favorite. They're Dell's Summer.
So, Narragansett makes the Dell's Shandy?
Dell's, yeah.
The one that looks like it. Yeah, definitely had it.
It's a spectacular, and the thing about that I love, like, I don't like the Lining Kugel. Not a bad beer. I don't like those ones that tastes like they're half grapefruit juice, half beer.
Yeah.
Because you can only drink a couple. Like, they're super sweet. The Narragansett was like, you know, we're going to take the lemonade that's made with lemons, a little bit of sugar, and that's it. And we're just going to take that as opposed to like a high C lemonade and mix it. I stand by my Narragansett.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, anybody can drink the Bud Light or the Budweiser, and that's like, yeah, it's Bud Light, Budweiser. But you're going to get someone's attention if, certainly in New England.
Yeah.
Like you did.
Yeah.
Where their dad was like, hey, neighbor.
Hey,
like,
neighbor.
I mean, that's
right away.
They absolutely do.
We've chatted about this. My summer beer is by far and away Brooklyn Summer Ale. Right, you get
great
a
beer.
Complex beer.
Great beer, great
at
price
kind of
point.
A low price point. It's great drinkable beer, so I love that. I mean, come football season, I'll definitely buy an 18-pack of Bud Light. I had that in the fridge. There's something about watching the Saints and drinking like three or four Bud Lights while having a bowl of gumbo.
That's
just like a thing.
That's where I'll sub in a Narragansett instead of a Bud Light.
Right.
But the same application.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something about your the way you grew up and kind of the history, and it's a remembrance thing. And And yeah,
it's so nostalgic.
It's nostalgic.
There's exactly. definitely like that is my connection to High Life. Mm. I remember being a kid watching my dad grilling on the deck with the High Life.
The High Life, yeah.
And it has never changed.
Yeah,
they were never like you know they make a tall boy, but you it's hard to find a tall boy Miller High Life can versus yeah. Miller High Life 18 the pack bottles yeah. for $15. You can always find them. The bottle's the same. It's never changed. They're very much like, listen, this is what we do.
Right.
I respect that.
I love it. All right.
Before we run out of time,
I want to taste the Kent Falls False Imperial. This is a noble hop pale ale, 5%, right? So just, you know, kind of everything we drank the PEMDAS. Double awkward.
So hug. Far, what's your favorite out of these? I gotta say, I think the PEMDAS.
I think the PEMDAS, right? And it's I wonder if that's good. Linked to the Strata. It'll be interesting. I will tell you, my Kent Fall favorite is All Alone with a Strata hop.
Out of all variants. The Kent Falls that I've had, my favorite is the Unicorns or what? I can't.
So
forgive.
I haven't even had that one. So that's really
I
interesting.
I thought the awkward hug you had was actually the Unicorns can because it looks very similar.
Yeah, it looks very similar. All right, so we got this Noble Hopped Pale Ale. Again, no nose.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing
that's
on all
really,
of them.
Really fascinating. Yeah. We'll give it a taste. Okay. I guess after everything we've had, it's kind of like drinking a seltzer.
You taste it. You still taste it. It's still a good beer. That's a light. That's a great light beer. And you see, I you know, it's
you
not
get that like, funk on the back end still. Will you say?
I there's definitely a consistency with that funk on the back end.
Yeah.
I think this one happens to be a little bit lighter, but I kind of expected that out of a single hop.
It's almost like an agita back there. I don't know.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, and this is a personal thing. Kent Falls doesn't make a bad beer. They make great beer.
Yeah.
But for my money to wrap up the podcast...
Yeah.
For my money,
yeah,
there are other beers I'm going to
yeah.
before I go to Kent Falls. I will try. I would love to. I love trying beer. I'll yeah. continue to try oh, them yeah. as they come out, especially in this venue. I love yeah. talking about them.
Yeah,
but I they're not bad. Maybe they're just not my shtick.
Don't blow you away.
Yeah, they're not my thing.
I mean, you know what I want to do? We really need to do this. Is a counterweight tour. Let's stack up a few counterweight beers. Because I've had what's their flagship?
So you've had Headway.
I've had Headway.
You've had Crucial Mass.
Possibly, I don't remember. So we probably need to go back to that.
I've had Headway, Crucial Mass, and I've had Spiral Architect.
Okay.
All three delicious.
Okay.
That I've had the Workhorse Pilsner. I haven't. That's okay. on the shelves. It's just, I haven't gotten it because yeah. I just have. I don't go to grab a Pilsner. I
All mean, right.
It's just not.
Let's do a compare and contrast. I think we need to tackle that.
That is a brewery we want to tackle. I can tell you another one I want to tackle,
yeah.
which is very prolific, like Kent Falls, is Relic.
Another one.
We never had a bad Relic beer.
Okay.
But for some reason or another, I don't buy them often. But every time I do, I'm like, why don't I buy them more often?
Yeah. So if you're out there and you want to hear about one versus
Matt
the other.
We got to get Matt here for a Relic tasting.
Is that what we need, Matt?
We're doing
Relic,
our next right. podcast, mark my words, your house, my house, wherever.
Relic,
we're
going to
bring like three of us. We're going to bring nine Relic beers because right. they have about 50 of them.
Oh, really?
We're going to do a Relic tasting.
Done.
That's
I'm
the
in.
Next guest.
All right, podcast peep, all two of you out there listening to us.
We'll be back sooner than later.
We'll be back. Really enjoy doing Kent. We love Kent Falls. Mad props to them. They're doing great stuff out there.
I'm going to go out there and check it out. I think we should make
it. Get out there. Tons of fun. Send us some hate mail. We love hate mail. Let us know what you think, and we look forward to coming back at you.
All right, guys. See you next time.